The retirement and IRA show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us as certified financial planner Jim Saulnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
Welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show Q&A edition, where we do our best to answer your questions that are sent in by email or phone or Pony Express or whatever your preferred form of communication might be. Today we've got some questions. Actually, it's a series of questions about Roth conversions, all from the same author, but it's a series of questions that I think a lot of people wonder about. So we're going to take a crack at discussing those. The show's going to be a lot shorter today. Because Mr. Mouthful of Words, Jim Saulnier, is busy doing some other stuff. So Joe Montana, as Jim would say, is going to join me here.
And piss.
My name's Chris, otherwise known as Piss. And actually, the email is going to start, "Good afternoon, Jim and Piss." Those of you who didn't listen to the show from a few weeks ago, that's, of course, a combination of Jim's version of a combination between Peter and Chris.
Because Pete and Chris Peter were together.
Piss, yeah, exactly. So if you're not in on the joke, that's what we're talking about here. So, Joe, thanks for joining me here on the show. This is a tax-related question or a series of questions, so it seemed like a great show for you to contribute your tax wisdom, if you will.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sounds good.
It's a Friday afternoon, late afternoon.
Friday.
So energy levels a little bit low for both of us. But we're going to get through this. So let's just get right into the email, unless you have something else you want to talk about, Joe.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't expand quite as much as other people.
That's totally fine. Well, we're cutting the Retirement IRA Show down to 20 minutes. Okay, so here goes. "Good afternoon, Jim and Piss. Sorry I had to. Full disclosure, I'm actually from Seattle. This is likely to be more of a Joe Montana question, as it has to do in part with possible tax implications." Of course, Joe Madonna.
Right, it's not Montana, name, so. But he obviously listens.
He obviously listens to the show, so you answer now to Joe Montana, so that's handy. But he goes on and says, "I'm a relatively new financial advisor with a wirehouse here in Seattle." Wirehouse, for those of you not in the industry, that just means a large institutional financial services firm.
I actually did not know that when I read it. I was like, wirehouse?
That's the terminology for that. So,
okay.
Works for one of the big fellas. Boys, big
financial,
girls, I don't know. Big financial.
yeah, you have to include the girls in that,
I'm trying to be gender free. Anyway. "My team works with a good amount of tech executives in the area, a lot of which are fortunate enough to be able to retire early. And for illustrative purposes, let's just say 55. After listening to some of our recent podcasts about Roth conversions, I started thinking about a strategy to convert as much as prudent, clients' pre-tax retirement funds to Roth during those years where their income turns off after retiring but prior to 70 and a half. We call that in the office here, this is a pause on the email here, we call that the tax planning window. Jim, I think, likes tax void, and
yeah,
Justin
liked
tax hole.
I think tax window is most appropriate.
I think, yeah, because it's something that opens.
Mm-hmm.
And then it closes, mm-hmm. right? And it's, yeah. So I prefer window, so I think I've convinced everybody to go with window. Mm-hmm. But it is a window of opportunity, and that's really why I like window, is it ties into that phrase. And you have no current income coming in, which is the bad news, but the good news is always when you have no income, you also have no taxes, right?
Right.
So it's maybe a prime time to look at choosing to generate taxable income through distributions or conversions from your pre-tax accounts at a time when you don't have other income pushing you up into higher tax brackets, thus the tax planning window. And he's referring to that, and he's talking about a scenario where you have a big window. If you retire at 55, you have a large window of planning opportunity there, 15 and a half years full of before your RMDs start. So if you have no other income and it's completely discretionary, you can choose to recognize it or not, it gives you a lot of tax planning opportunity. So then he goes on, my thinking is that it's because there's no income. I already read that part. Additionally, the money that's converted will grow tax-free. That's all true in the Roth. And then he has a series of questions. So here's the first question. What am I not considering on this? What are the reasons against doing this, against doing the Roth conversions? I have my thoughts.
Yeah, I do as well. It is a great opportunity for people to convert if they don't have other sources of income. Obviously, they're not going to be on Social Security yet, and they're not going to be required to take their RMDs yet. Mm-hmm. However, what are they living off of during that time period? And if they have, say, a brokerage account or some interest, dividends, those sorts of things, then where are they going to sit in the tax implications there if they convert? That's
right.
Really
so
the big question.
If you are forced to distribute from your pre-tax accounts just to live on, that might already be enough recognized, air quote, income, because that's what it comes out as when it comes out of your account, that you're really not in very attractive tax brackets anyway. So there might not be a huge conversion opportunity, because the big deal is convert at in years when you're going to be at a lower tax rate than future years, where you're then going to be forced to take out money as RMDs and possibly have your other sources of income turned on, Social Security, pensions, etc., and have a tax burden that you would rather avoid. So there's that. So you, hopefully to really take advantage of the window, you'll have other funds outside of your qualified pre-tax accounts that you could live off of. And then you could be doing these giant conversions because you have no other really recognized income at that point. So if you don't have that and you're forced to take a lot of money out, might reduce the attractiveness. There's probably still a degree of attractiveness. But that's one reason. Other reason, especially for a young person who no longer works for an employer, what are they doing for healthcare, right? If they're relying on the market and are relying on ACA credits, you don't want to have income.
Right.
Because the lower your income, the better the credits, so you can get your medical premiums reduced lower. Or even mm-hmm. eliminated. And so you have to worry about that. Maybe you do these conversions, but now you get no help and you're spending tens of thousands of dollars on medical expenses that you could otherwise avoid. So there's a reason. And even related to that, he talked about them retiring at 55, really early retirement. But even at 65, when they go on Medicare, there's now what we know is called IRMA, income-related monthly adjusted amount, or the means testing of Medicare premiums. And those penalties can be significant if you have lots of income in the years that you're on Medicare. And so...
And they determine that by the 2 years prior, correct?
They do. There's a delay in when it takes effect, but it's going to be... You're going to worry about it in the year that you're on Medicare. And so if you've done big conversions immediately
right.
before that...
Yeah, that could
you
cause
could be
you to
causing
bump up.
You, right. So it's... Mm-hmm. it's I'm not saying don't consider doing right. it because of these, but make sure you take into consideration these things in the big picture.
And I think that's really his big question was, why wouldn't you, or what kind of factors would play into making a decision, and how much should I do? Well, that is a factor that plays into that.
Right. Those are ones we talk about a lot that people tend to disregard or not think of. The next question is, what would be a reasonable amount to target on an annual basis? Boy, isn't that the million-dollar question? I say that because we get that question a lot.
Yeah, I wish I could just throw out a number. That would be beautiful.
The challenge is when you're forecasting or planning for the future, you have to realize you're not going to be perfect on this. And so to rely on some kind of forecast to decide ahead of time how much you should recognize or convert is a challenge. A lot of people would like that clarity, so the beginning of the year they know how much I'm going to take out of this account, how much I'm going to take out of that account. But what we've found is it's a lot better to wait until later in the year, and then you'll have your tax picture a lot clearer, and then you can make much better decisions. Now, this will only work if you have
the flexibility
by having some money outside of your always taxable accounts, what
right.
we call qualified accounts generally. So outside of your 401k or IRA, you could spend money from, say, a bank account if you have it outside. And then in November, look at your tax situation for the year and decide how much optimally would I have liked to take out, whether it's in distribution form or in conversion form, how much should I take out of those IRAs and 401ks in order to optimize, is the word we generally use, our tax situation.
Right, because the other thing, too, we were talking about things to take into consideration is the AMT mm-hmm. and the NIT, the net investment income tax, which is actually mm-hmm. the big one, because if you're withdrawing from those investment accounts, and all of a sudden, if you've taken out all that money to live off of, and then you make a conversion on top of that, then all of a sudden you're going to bust into that extra 3.8%, mm-hmm. not to mention the capital gains that you're going to end right. up coming into contact
with. The other thing I would, when you're talking about the amount, a lot of this is going to be driven by your forecast of what your life, your tax life is going to look like in RMD years after mm-hmm. 70 and a half. If you don't have overly burdensome, if you're not thinking or projecting that you have overly burdensome taxes, then the need or desire to convert in the tax planning window is not as great. But for people where it really makes sense is they look out at RMD years and realize, I'm going to be pushed into these insane tax brackets. And if I'm part of a married couple and one of us passes away, now you're in even a more severe tax situation. It's those people that should be trying to convert as much as rational person would in the tax planning window. And what I mean by that is you could convert the whole thing in 1 year, but you're going to push yourself into a very unattractive tax bracket. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to look and manage those tax brackets, including other income that's going to be attributed, that's going to be included in your overall tax situation. And that's why I say don't make the ultimate decision about how much you're going to do each year until later in the year. And because a lot of times people have income that they didn't expect, or they get a sudden end of year distribution out of their brokerage account from mutual funds or something that they've had. I've seen all kinds of things happen that people early in the year did a conversion only to later on figure out, oops, I shouldn't have done that. The problem now is we didn't used to worry as much about it because we could undo the conversion.
Right.
But called recharacterization in the business. But you can't do that anymore. So it's really important when you do a conversion in particular that you're sure you want to do it
right.
and in that amount. So I think late in the year is usually where people have enough clarity to make the best decision. But he's not alone in wanting to know what should I know ahead of time? How much should I convert? Given that there's no limit on the amount you can convert, are there any reasons not to convert the entire balance over time? Would there be any reasons to leave a certain amount in pre-tax versus converting to Roth besides tax implications? Well, that's a big implication.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really why you would not want to convert everything. If you get too aggressive, you're going to be paying more tax now during what should be a tax holiday, if you will, or window of opportunity. And then what would be sad is if you're 75 and you have little to no recognized income in those years, you're wasting the low tax brackets, the low end,
yeah,
where you could have been taking money out of your accounts at that, and you instead decided when you were 62 to be taking huge amounts out as conversions. Can you think of any other reason why somebody wouldn't want to convert so aggressively that they drain, they have no balance in their
really the biggest reason is tax implications, and he's saying outside of that, why shouldn't we? Outside of that, yeah, why shouldn't you? That'd be fine to do, but tax implications are the hugest piece of that.
Right. And you can think of, I would think of it every year as you have these buckets that you get to put income into, and each bucket gets its own tax rate. You've got a series of these buckets at every larger lined up in any one year at all the different tax bracket rates that you might have. And it would be sad to fill these high percentage, high marginal tax buckets early in life. Mm-hmm. And then you get to 80 and you're looking at your little 10% bucket there, and you're not even filling that up.
Right. You should have utilized.
You should have saved. You should have kept some so that you could fill that bucket later on. So there is some strategy, some longer term planning aspects to this. And this is, that's why we run those projection reports.
Right. That's why the tax planning is so pertinent, because then mm-hmm. you can look at all the years, you can look at all sources of income, how they're going to be treated each year, and you can optimize the timing and how much you're going to utilize in each of those years to convert. Frankly, I would never recommend that someone just convert it all in one year. If they had other sources of income in any form, I don't see
it's probably never going to be a good reason for that. But maybe if they have from 55 to 70, they do have 15 years.
Yeah.
And so if they have good tax diversification, which we always encourage people to have, try not to be put in a position where all of your money is in one of the three types of accounts. We have never taxed, we have always taxed, and maybe taxed buckets, where the never taxed are Roth accounts. They were taxed, but it's in the past. You've already taken care of it, so never taxed in the future. Mm-hmm. We have the always taxed 401k IRAs that's always sitting there waiting for the tax burden to show up. And then the maybe taxed, depending on if you've got gains in there or not, regular brokerage accounts or bank accounts, things like that. If you have good diversification, then in any one year, when you do have a clear view of your tax situation for that year, you can then strategically take money from those three sources to optimize your tax situation.
Right.
It's the flexibility that the diversification gives you that provides this opportunity. If you have everything in one type of account, mm-hmm. you better want to take it out of there, because that's the only choice you've got.
Right. Which I have to wonder, he's talking about his clients. And yes, they're able to retire early, but what sources do they have for income during that time period where that window is there? You know, are they going to still have to take money out of those other accounts? And then it's going to be those always taxable accounts. If they have to take out some during those years just to live off of.
Right.
Because, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they've got enough in their savings accounts to live off of for 10 years, but...
Probably not.
No, I'm going to guess not. I'm going to guess not.
But then, and this really, for the younger you are, I think it's much more likely that you're going to have these random incomes that come in.
Yeah.
Maybe you run a little hobby business or something. I can't imagine they're going to just retire and do nothing from 55 to death. That's just not how people operate. So they're going to be doing something. And if they were a successful tech executive, they're probably going to do something that either on purpose or accidentally generates money.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's going to be different from year to year, though. And maybe they start a little business, but then they sell it. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that these people do as hobbies or part-time businesses or startups or those types of things. And that's the reason why you wait till later in the year when you know if this stuff has happened. Oh, I made money doing this. Oh, okay. Well, that just means this year we maybe don't want to convert quite so much.
Yeah.
But if you already did the big conversion in January...
Whoops.
Whoops. right? Whoops. And then in August, they, you know, oh, I got this great new, temporary job, consulting or something. A lot of people who retire early consult.
Yeah.
And it can be quite lucrative at times, and it could be sporadic. So if you wait till late in the year, you'll know, did they have consulting income, part-time income? Did the hobby actually accidentally make money? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So what else does he got here? He says, what do you typically recommend as the preferred retirement withdrawal pecking order as far as what we call the liquidation order in the software that we use? The common approach for decades, the base recommendation has been, those tax-deferred accounts, defer them as long as possible. There's nothing bad about deferring. That was the common approach. So that would mean draw money from brokerage accounts, bank accounts first, and put off till later. Well, that has generated a whole generation of folks that are about to receive the tax torpedo, mm-hmm. right, where they defer to then be shackled to having to take distributions as RMDs with no flexibility, no tax planning opportunities. Uncle Sam is saying you have to take out X amount every year.
You are welcome.
Yeah, exactly. So what we usually do is we run our projections assuming that is the case. That's the base case, kind of the nostalgic tax planning approach. And then take a look at opportunities and then try to exploit those opportunities each year where there's a tax planning window opportunity. Right? Is that, I mean, can you think of a reason to, I guess what I'm saying is you might model it as if you're going to do that, but in reality, you're going to take out a blend every year if you're paying attention.
Right.
It's the people who automatic pilot, who say, oh, somebody told me always defer, so I'm going to take mm-hmm. all the money every year for the first 5, 6, 8 years of my retirement from my brokerage account instead. And wait to tap my 401k or IRA until later on because I've heard all these wonderful things about tax deferral. They're not strategizing, right? They're not looking at the tax aspects of it. And they would probably benefit from a tax strategy, right? It yes. doesn't have to be particularly sophisticated.
Right, right.
Right? Say you're in November, how would a person try to figure out what they should convert that year? I mean, it's not calculus.
No, but it does come down to what the sources of income were.
But you'll know those by November.
Yeah, you should know.
Right?
Yeah.
So you just kind of start listing the income you've got.
It actually kind of sounds simple, but when it comes to capital gains, it's not. So if you have any kind of cap gain in there, it's not quite as simple.
The good news is there's starting to be more and more software providers in the financial services area that are focusing more and more on this tax question, that hopefully some of those software programs will start to become available to the general public. They're mostly available just to planners and advisors. We're assessing new software all the time, and there's some really attractive new things being released that if they live up to their potential could make everyone's lives much easier to optimize their tax situation, because it has been a little clunky and a little painful up until this time because of the amount of manual work and Excel spreadsheets and things like that we've had to do and all, getting all the information together. But I see some hope on the horizon, I guess. I bet there's probably 2 or 3 new software programs due out this year in 2019 that are specifically designed to start to answer tax questions like how much should I take out this year? Mm-hmm. Where should I position my assets to most effectively or most efficiently deal with taxes?
Right.
So that's going to make your life and my life easier for sure.
Mm-hmm. You haven't seen, we're going to end up doing an EDU show on capital gains. And Jim, I think, was flabbergasted, here it is, of all of my calculations that went into capital gain, because we had a question about it. And it's not a simple calculation. Right. Having that software, if it's going to be available for the general public, that'll be super helpful for people.
Yeah. And the thing, people might wonder, lately we've actually been talking a lot about taxes. If you think about it, if you can create a strategy where you know you will save, throwing out a number, $10,000 in taxes, by simply doing things in a certain order, that's actually a lot more straightforward and a lot more sure than hoping that you're going to earn an extra $10,000 in your investments by making wise investment choices. We know that can go either way. Can work out, can not work out. People spend so much time and effort on that, though, and don't pay hardly any attention to things where they absolutely could put another $10,000 in their pocket if they simply did ABC instead of BAC. Right. So yeah. I think luckily more and more people are paying attention to this. We've been paying attention to it for quite some time. It's just been we've been a little bit ahead of the software and we've wanted tools that do some of these things and haven't had it. So I'm looking forward to those. Let's see. When we're running an analysis of this type of scenario, what do you use to calculate after-tax portfolio projection comparisons of the strategy?
Speaking of software.
So we use a few things. As far as our overall planning software, we're big fans of NaviPlan by Advisant, mainly because, and if anybody from NaviPlan's listening, I apologize, but your client interface is a little rough.
Yeah,
it's not pretty. It's not friendly. It's been improved over time, but it's still well behind the competition. However, the engine on the back end is the most robust and flexible and accurate that we have found to date. And we do a very detailed cash flow based style of planning. So we pay close attention to what is the tax situation for someone who not just lives in the U.S. in the U.S. tax system, but lives in a particular state. Right, and is planning to move to another state in 5 years, NaviPlan can handle that and do the taxes correctly and gives us really good tax projections where we can look at tax planning window opportunities. Mm-hmm. And then we can run hypotheticals. We can say, well, what if we convert X amount over this period and get some idea? But again, if you're looking out more than a year or so, think of that as a very vague roadmap. Be prepared. We're looking at probably doing this in 5 or 6 years, but we're not going to make the final decision until we're right then. We're not going to actually decide we're going to convert fill in the blank amount, $50,000, $100,000, whatever the number might be. But the software, the nice thing about it is it gives us an idea of the possible tax benefits that could be captured if we do proactively do some of this tax planning. So there's a number of things, a number of programs out there, but NaviPlan is one of the few that can handle practically any tax situation we throw at it. I think that's about it. So I think I applaud him. He's a financial advisor, don't know who with, but with a large firm in Seattle. I applaud him for paying such close attention to taxes because what I said before is absolutely true. So many advisors, who are mostly advisors, not planners, focus 80% of their effort on finding a way that a client can earn a marginal improvement in their rate of return. Well, there's risk involved in that. It's not for sure, where if you put the same amount of effort into tax planning, you might be able to absolutely show not, oh, it could go up, could go down, but rather you will doing this, you will save fill in the blank amount in taxes.
Yeah, concrete.
Much more concrete. Of course, tax rules change, but not nearly like the fluctuations in the stock market or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's a lot more for sure. So thanks for joining me on this quick little show we have here.
That's this is my pleasure.
We didn't have a lot of time to commit to it, so we're going to wrap things up today. But if you've got your own questions, please reach out to us. Just go to jimhelps.com. That's Jim, HELPS.com. Thanks, Joe Madonna /Montana, for being on the show with me. I know we've got that EDU show coming up on capital gains.
Yes.
So I think that'll probably be in the next couple of weeks. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, watch for that EDU show to launch. But on the Q&A show, we love your questions. We'll get to them as soon as humanly possible. There's quite a queue. But we want to remind everybody that Jim and I are practicing living, breathing. We're not practicing living, but we are living, breathing, practicing financial planners in Northern Colorado.
Sometimes I'm not sure.
Joe is an enrolled agent, so she gives us a lot of help with tax planning, tax preparation, tax analysis of various kinds. answers tax questions for us on the Q&A show and on the EDU show. So thank you. And if you're interested in talking to us a little bit more about the services we provide and see if we can help you out with your retirement situation, just go to our website, jimhelps.com. That's J-I-M-H-E-L-P-S.com. And there's a calendar app there. You can schedule your own time to chat with either Jim or I, and we can talk to you about what we do, what we're all about. It's all about retirement planning, distribution planning, and taxes are related to that, obviously. And I guess we want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll be back with you next week with a brand new show.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested indirectly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.